On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, John and I are joined by Jay McBain, the principal analyst at Forrester. We're going to talk everything security, partner, cheese.
No, we don't talk cheese.
We're going to talk about cheese.
Oh, can we talk about cheese? Okay.
Stay tuned.
It's always exciting, the cheese part.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
And today we're going to be joined by Jay McBain, one of the principal analysts at Forrester, specializing on the channel side. A really, really, really fascinating guy. Someone who is super respected in the industry, and someone we've been trying to get on the pod for a while now, and we're looking to have Jay come to and speak at our sales kickoff next month too.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
That's going to be cool.
He's a great keynote speaker. I mean, he's
I think I read in his bio that he's done like 100 just this year or something.
Yeah.
But we need to ask him about that. That's crazy. But no, I really want to get Jay's take on what's happening in the channel. What's everyone talking about? What's asking about security? Let's talk about, you know, what are the relevant sort of, what are they seeing coming in the next 3 to 5 years?
Right. Yeah.
And if you're a channel partner, sort of, where do you go? How do you get involved?
How do you get started?
Yeah.
Those are key things of, you know, we talk about a lot on the show. It's like, I can imagine that a partner or just somebody listening to the podcast is like, sounds great, but, you know, what's my first step?
Yeah.
And what's my second step? What's my third
step? Even if you're an existing partner, too, like, how do I get involved in the buyer journey? I mean, like,
exactly.
A lot of these folks, they may have done something that worked 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. It's not going to work today.
No.
You've got to be involved in that digital journey earlier.
Keep reinventing yourself. And, yeah.
So I've heard a rumor that you're heading to Wisconsin next week.
I'm going to Baraboo, Wisconsin.
And it's going to be cold up there.
It will be a high of 9 on Tuesday.
That sounds nice.
Does it?
Is it going to snow?
It'll snow the day before, actually, on my drive from the airport to Baraboo.
Well, some things in Wisconsin you should definitely do. You should hit up, get some brats,
some cheese, yes.
I would tell you to get some beer. Maybe bring me back some beer. They got good beer up there.
I'm not going to bring you beer back. Sorry. I could just people say, you know, can you bring back some sausages or cheese?
You can bring back some cheese.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring it in my bag. Are you kidding me? No.
Don't put a cheese knife in your bag. That will get you stopped.
Yeah, that. Well, yeah.
That's happened to my mom before.
Even those blunt ones that aren't
sharp. Oh yeah, no knives in your bag. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I will not bring. I'll bring some cheese then.
Some nice cheddar.
Aged.
Sharp. Oh, yeah.
Very sharp. Extra sharp.
Who's eating non-sharp cheddar?
I don't know. Someone.
Not people we want to have on the podcast.
Okay. So, did you catch that, Frederick? So if we have to ask him before the podcast.
We should probably find out what kind of cheddar do you like.
And if they
say mild or medium.
We're off.
Out.
That's one of the questions that
we want to
have
sharp and extra sharp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The sharper, the better.
How about
really?
Havarti?
Havarti?
Yeah.
Is that a Wisconsin cheese?
I don't know. Less? Is that a? Less?
What about Munster? I like Munster.
It sounds just like, it sounds ghoulish to me. Like Eddie Munster.
No, I think you're thinking of Monster.
Fred. No, Fred Munster.
Herman Munster.
Herman Munster, that's
right. I don't know. I like the cheese. I don't know about the people.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. It's a little scary, that topic, just in general.
Munster.
Munster.
Yeah.
Okay, not Munster.
Should we get Jay's take on cheese? No, I don't think so.
We'll ask him. Why not? Think he'll take it? He might not take the question.
I think he's going to say, I don't want to talk about partners, not cheese.
Okay.
All right, let's give him a ring.
Ring.
John and I are now joined by Jay McBain, who is the principal analyst of Channels, Partnerships, and Alliances at Forrester Research. Jay, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
Now, Jay, I met you back in February of last year down at the B2B Marketing Exchange in Arizona when Forrester started a wave in the UCaaS space this year. We've sort of picked up our relationship there. I know you did a webinar with Michelle back about a month or two ago. So seems like we're making some headway. And I think maybe you're going to come join us at our sales kickoff acceleration summit in January too.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that as well.
And as a native Canadian, I assume you're trying to stay as far away from that place as possible right this time of year. Are you down at your home in Florida?
Yeah, I moved to southern Florida, so it's like I'm a Canadian living on vacation. I just don't have to go back like a snowbird does. So I, like everyone, though, we do have events that are all over the place, and so I do keep a winter jacket handy.
Yeah, we know the feeling. So I know you're really, really focused on the channel side, and as are we. So can you tell our listeners, our partners, you know, what's the hot topic right now? What's going on in the channel space that's moving the needle? What are people worried about? What are people talking about? What's the word on the street?
Yeah, I've given about 50 keynotes this year, and absolutely the number one topic that people want to hear about is ecosystems. We have every company in every industry becoming a tech company, every service company in every industry becoming a technology services company. And now every person in every company is spending more than half their time on technology. So the world is flooding in, and we're in a world now that it's not as linear as it used to be in terms of, you know, who your partners are, who's influencing the customer, and all these, it's very celestial, all these stars and moons out there. And you're trying to predict when these things are going to align. It's a hot topic, and it's a lot of fun for those of us in channels trying to figure out how to manage this and build a program around this and, you know, keep everybody motivated. It's good times.
How does that affect if you're an existing MSP or let's say maybe in a more traditional VAR interconnect? How does that affect your day to day, that sort of nonlinear approach? I mean, what are your challenges look like from a customer standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think that there's a huge opportunity. You know, number one is we've seen a real shift in buying. You know, 10 years ago, you know, you used to have this thing called shadow IT or rogue IT, yep, where, you know, line of business executives would make these decisions without IT's permission. And, you know, there's always that fight. Well, shadow IT has become the new normal. 66% of all technology dollars and projects and spend today is made outside of IT. So for a managed service provider or a VAR, reseller, agent, wherever you come from, you know, you've spent most of your career, maybe decades, calling on the IT manager, CIO, CTO, CDO, kind of the infrastructure buyer. Well, now you've had to open up to a head of marketing, sales, operations, finance, HR, is that's where the dollars are. That's where you need to be. And you're going to find yourself working with others. So who's called on the marketing buyer forever are digital agencies. There's 108,000 digital agencies, and now 78% of them are doing tech services.
Yeah.
You're going to be working in coordination with a digital agency among, on average, you know, five players. So, you know, there might be three other players in the room as well in that project. So you are no longer the single throat to choke. You're no longer the trusted advisor. You're somebody coming in to, you know, maybe do the more technology side of the project, which is the security, the compliance, the business continuity, the, you know, the data. But there's others focused on, you know, other parts of the projects, and you have to play nice in the sandbox.
But so if you're an MSP, though, I'm just to play the other side, are you trying to maybe take away some of that business from a digital agency and sort of recapture those and see if you can add more, you know, monthly recurring revenue to your stream, or, you know, or you sort of like have to just kind of wait and see how that folds out? I mean, I guess there's a couple different approaches you could take there.
Oh, there definitely is. And, you know, as a managed service provider, you're obviously looking for service revenue, and you already probably hold the contract, and, you know, you might be getting $113 a month per device or per person, you know, for the infrastructure, you know, for the PCs and the servers and the printers and, you know, kind of everything in the network. That being said, now you're looking at managed services as what other things can I manage? You know, for example, security. There's seven layers of security that go inside every project. And, you know, security isn't a one and done thing anymore. You don't just buy a couple of products, plug them in, and you're good. You know, security is a minute by minute threat detection, threat remediation type of service that customers are getting more in the mode of paying as a managed security service. You know, things like compliance, things like continuity, all these things, all the tech services of the past that, you know, may have been, you know, implemented now can, you know, grow into these new projects. So, you know, how do you take that 113 and start growing that upwards? Is you start adding these line of business, business transformation, digital transformation projects, and the components of them that are long-term, you know, you put them into more of a managed play. And you know, that's, I think, the probably the battleground going into the next decade.
Yeah, but yeah, it's interesting because you really have to, you know, build that relationship with the customer to be effective. But you also, you know, you got to, like you said, you've got to play nice with others. I mean, it's definitely a more challenging space than it used to be, you know, than it was maybe 5 years ago, you know, especially 10 years ago. So I think for those partners, you've really got to focus on what's going to make the customer happy. How do you sort of meet their needs? And then how do you build out an extension of your current business and make you more sticky? So I think those are all things that MSPs face. One thing that we've heard a lot about recently and would love to get your take on in the channel space is security. So, you know, what's the, you know, if you're a partner, how do you handle the security question? You know, what should be your sort of go-to? I mean, it's a challenging one. But one that businesses are, you know, sort of have at the forefront of their mind right now.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, you have to have it's a multidimensional conversation. You know, if you were to talk about security 5 years ago, you start thinking about, you know, plugging in a firewall, plugging in some antivirus software. And, you know, here are the 7 SKUs that, you know, you can plug in to check the box. Well, every day we hear about breaches and all of our emails and all of our social security numbers have, you know, been breached multiple times. So, you know, it's now a more mature conversation. So you sit down and there's 7 layers to the conversation. You know, you can start with, you know, traditional network security, move it into data security, cloud security, endpoint security. You start getting into the conversation around physical security and all these different layers. Again, this isn't a point in time project. It's a managed service because all of these, you know, threats are changing and emerging basically every day. And if you're not on top of it, and if you don't have somebody watching and monitoring, you know, minute by minute, and that goes back to a very capable, you know, security operations center, a SOC, you're not well protected. And, you know, we know now what the risk is for companies, large, medium, and small, that have a breach, that have a security incident. You know, it could be an out of business experience for them.
Yeah.
Or yeah. You know, it could have drastic impact on your brand and your trust and your stock price. So, you know, having that conversation now isn't foreign to the customer. They're expecting it. They want to have it. And I think they're getting in tune to the fact that this is something that they're going to have to pay for, you know, every month, every year, forever. Because it's just that much of a changing environment.
You know, you're obviously a futurist. You're looking at the future. What do you see in the next 5 years, things that we might see that not even on the radar today as security issues?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, from a security standpoint, the threats are multiplying. And, you know, we hear today, you know, in politics about nation states mm-hmm. and taking over elections. And yeah. we're starting to see, you know, threats, for example, internal threats. You know, we've always thought of, you know, threats as coming from outside the firewall and breaking in. And, you know, things like employee espionage and internal, you know, threats. It's basically coming from everywhere. So, you know, when you're thinking security over the next few years, you need to insulate every part of your organization, and you have to insulate it from the outside and from the inside. And the governance and compliance levels that go into this, that now, you know, probably are going to have a stronger AI element to
mm-hmm.
it. You know, we're at 2-factor authentication, but you can start thinking about 3rd and 4th factor mm-hmm. authentication that is onto a general ledger on a blockchain. You know, these are the areas, these emerging technologies, AI, automation, and, you know, blockchain and even quantum computing down the road, maybe beyond 5 years, but they're all going to play in the security game and how this is all, you know, in the end, locked down. And, you know, who is, you know, who have you hired to basically be your protection of any new threat that's coming? So this is some, you know, really interesting times. And I think we're only in the second or third inning here of the security story.
And I think if you're a channel partner, you have to look at it as an opportunity. I mean, if you kind of shy away from it and sort of want to avoid it, then you're going to get left in the dust.
Yeah.
You've got to look at it as an opportunity. You've got to put the time and the effort in to learn about what's out there and how you can help your customer avoid those potential pitfalls. So I think, you know, those MSPs and partners that do those kinds of things and become experts in the security field are going to have successful enterprises.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of partners today, it makes them nervous to have those discussions. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I mean, if, you know, even if a collaboration company like ourselves, you know, we have that security discussion. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we're working through a virtual desktop now through Citrix is because of, you know, their security. So, I mean, it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. But you really got to know your stuff, because you don't want to get caught, you know, like, you know, like you mentioned out of business experience.
Yeah.
You'll have an out of body experience if you have a breach like that.
Right.
And I think that a lot of partners have actually, you know, they're going in and they're accepting of the, you know, a desktop and application, the security of that. But, you know, the internal threats and other things that are coming in different directions that, if they don't get well versed in those, you know, they're going to have some customers that they will leave them. They will go someplace else. If somebody bringing up those conversations, you know, seven layers, I think that's that's a pretty powerful statement. I'd like to look at all those seven layers, because like you say, you're in a second or third inning. There's probably going to be 10 to 12 as we go forward the next few years.
So, you know, the element we got to look at though, as MSPs, as partners, is customers now, you know, for the first 68% of their journey in buying technology, don't talk to salespeople. They don't talk to people. They're fully, you know, in a digital journey, you know, reaching out to peer networks, social networks, they're reading ebooks and white papers, you know, podcasts like this one. And, you know, they're forming what their solution's going to be digitally. And 71% of the cases now, they come to vendor selection.
Oh, I see.
Without ever talking to somebody.
Yeah.
They've already done their research. They know what they're looking for. Now they're going to try to find a vendor that can actually implement.
Right. So it's like buying a car. Like, you walk into the dealership and you know more about that car and exactly what you're going to pay than that salesperson ever will.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is happening in technology now. So as a MSP, you have to get into that conversation digitally much earlier than you would have ever before. And then the second element is when it gets beyond the transaction and they're starting to implement, the installation has the security component there,
mm-hmm.
the implementation, the integration, all of those critical components. If you aren't either running the project or managing the product or even involved in the project, you're not going to come in and sell security after that. So you got to get in early. And then you got to make sure that you've got a good slice of the pie, the opportunity through the phases of installation, implementation, and integration, or you're not going to win the security management long term. And so that's what I implore people to think about, is what is your own digital presence and how are you doing with especially these new buyers,
yes.
which you may not be that familiar with, earlier in their journey, to make sure that you're in that virtual room.
You want to get involved in that digital conversation earlier. That means you may have to change the way you market a bit. And I think, you know, the more savvy MSP or partner out there is talking to these customers on LinkedIn, is having these conversations on Twitter and Facebook. You know, and it may require hiring someone who understands the social space a little bit better than others. And so, you know, what is your recommendation to a partner? How do they get involved in that conversation earlier? Where are the right avenues for them to play in?
Yeah. So first and foremost, they have to specialize to the point of getting found and visible in the digital journey. So we've talked for decades about, you know, verticalization and, you know, becoming more specialized. I call this next generation, the next decade is going to be around hyper-specialization. So for example, you know, 81% of those buyers start their journey with a Google search. It is what it is. And, you know, how you can get placed on page one of Google. Well, you would have had to write the white paper, the ebook, you would have had to, you know, be on the podcast that talked specifically about your customer's solution. So here's the deal. Hyper-specialization comes down to five vectors. You have to be specialized on the buyer themselves, whether it's an IT buyer, marketing, HR, you know, finance, whatever the buyer, that's one of the vectors. Two is sub-industry. You know, we've spent decades now getting verticalized, you know, becoming healthcare, finance, government, whatever one of the verticals. But customers are looking for sub-verticals. You know, it's great that you know healthcare, but I run a mid-sized clinic with, you know, 50 doctors.
Yeah.
Your experience in hospitals or dentist offices isn't that, you know, relevant to me. I want somebody that has a resume built around 50 doctor clinics. That's number two. Number three is geographic. You know, selling to a mid-sized clinic in, you know, New York is different than Florida, much different than Toronto or London. I mean, there's a lot of compliance, regulation, legislation differences. So I need that on your resume too. Number four is a sector size and segment, you know, what size and where they are. And then there's 40 layers of the tech stack. We just talked about the seven layers of security, but there's 33 other layers.
Wow.
UCaaS and VoIP. And as we get into all the collaboration, and I mean, there's just so many layers of the tech stack today. Nobody is an expert at everything. So if I take all five of those vectors together, multiply it, there's 35 million opportunities to specialize, hyper-specialize. And by the way, when you are the marketing, mid-sized clinic, upstate New York partner, guess who shows up first on Google? Guess who shows up first on the marketplace? And who builds that ability to be in every one of those conversations is that company that declared themselves there publicly, digitally. It's not going to be the all things to all people all the time partner that happens to be trying to get that business.
I think if you're the partner, you got to make a decision before then, right? Like, what do I want to specialize in?
I think you've got to look at
the market. What is the addressable market that you want to go after, and understand, you know, is this going to sustain my business, right? So can I focus on medical clinics in upstate New York and have a successful business? So I think, you know, you've got to be able to understand the addressable market first, and then from there you can truly, you know, hyper focus your marketing efforts towards that sector. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I always call it a heat map. Go look at all your current customers, and when you break them down by those five vectors, you know, you're going to have places, and there might be 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 places that you just have very, you know, good and differentiated IP. Like, you just know how to do mid-sized clinics better than anyone else. So when you start looking at your current customer base, they're going to kind of clump together across this heat map of 35 million things. And there might be those set of places that you're just going to have to go that extra step digitally, set up the right landing pages, make sure that your content is specialized to that level, that it's going to win in a digital, you know, search world. And it's going to win on social, it's going to win on peer groups, it's going to win across marketplaces and search engines. That's the declaration that you need to make based on where your experience is today. You just have to have that heat map built. And obviously, you know, the opportunities, if mid-sized clinics in the Northeast isn't a big enough market, you're probably going to have to declare yourself in 2 or 3 places. But the fact of the matter is, without that declaration, you're just not going to show up digitally.
Let me ask you a question. When you get done with doing some keynotes, you're going to have some people come up to you, obviously, and I'm sure this has happened. And you've got a small MSP, says, like, where do I start? what suggestions would you give them? What would be, I know we talked about the, you know, focusing, but break it down to three things I could do first to just start out to see, is this an avenue I want to go in?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I think is to look internally. The best place to look is your current customers and look what you're doing and how you did it differently. Like, why did you win that business and why do you continue to earn their trust? That is the areas, like, I wouldn't go and just join a new, you know, industry and join a new type of buyer just for the sake of doing it. You got to build adjacently out of where you've had success already.
Okay. Okay.
Number two, I always say next time you go to your customer, flip through the guest book if they allow you to. Flip through the guest book. There is an over 50% chance that everyone signing in to see your customer, no matter who they're signing in to see, is talking about tech. There's 150,000 accounting and CPA firms in the US, and 81% of them are now doing tech services. So if they're signing in to see the CFO, they're probably talking tech and digital transformation.
Gotcha.
Digital agencies, there's 108,000 of them. 78% of them are doing tech services. So there's a 78% chance that that digital agency signing in is talking tech. So you need to expand yourself in your current customers and your prospects to see where the dollars, and I said two-thirds of dollars are maybe happening outside of your aperture, your vantage point today.
Right.
So go find out those other people, have a coffee with them, start to learn those people in your environment and start, you know, partnering, you know, look at what that sandbox looks like and start building some of those relationships so you can add value in these projects that you would might not have seen in another sense. That would be, you know, the next, you know, big piece of advice. And, you know, the third thing is always start small. You know, don't just go build a new AI practice. Don't just go and build out a new vertical.
Be very strategic about what's the next step that you're going to take as a company and start out small, look at your customer base, see which how you've been successful, and then basically go to these companies. And you can certainly sit down with an existing client and say, what are you looking at 5 years out? What do you need? I mean, that's a typical, I think, a great question to ask because they're already doing research ahead that far if they're a substantial size company. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And by the way, the last advice that I would give is start to think about codifying your IP. So today, you know, every environment, you know, every cloud infrastructure layer, every SaaS app, they all have no code, low code environments. That once you've gone into that mid-sized clinic and delivered, you know, a great business outcome and a solution, the customer's happy, you can actually bottle that up, take that code and, you know, go get a URL, go get a logo. So $5 to GoDaddy and $5 to Fiverr to get a logo, you know, get build a LinkedIn page and become an ISV yourself. It's not difficult today. And the way to win digitally, now you have a 1-2 punch. Not only are you a service company that can solve the customer's problem, but you actually have a product listed on the marketplace as well that can solve the customer's problem, which is more of a service, but you know it shows up as a product. And you start thinking through that and you know you become a different kind of business because now you've got something repeatable, not just for mid-sized clinics in state New York, but maybe for mid-sized clinics worldwide.
Absolutely. Well, you have given us a lot to think about. I'm kind of a little bit overwhelmed. So we're going to go to something a little lighter, if that's okay, Jay.
Well, we only got a couple minutes left of Jay's time, so we got to make sure we bring this up.
Yeah, this is interesting. So you did a 21-day trip around the world and visiting 15 countries with your wife and your two children, your two daughters,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
How the hell did you do that?
Wow. And yeah.
Well,
was it a bet?
You know, we're a traveling family. So we're coming up on 100 countries now. And I think
okay.
50 or 60 countries. So it was one of those things that I had a speech late July in Australia. And we just looked at Kayak and hotels.com and just went the wrong way around the world. So flying over the Pacific, we flew over the Atlantic and landed in Europe, went to the Middle East, went to Asia and just kind of did little hopper flights to 15 different countries and made it a real adventure, you know, new hotel and a new airport, you know, every other day.
Well, I was
on our way to Australia.
I was looking at your itinerary and I think at the end, I think you were back home, and the girls look exhausted in their strollers. They're like, "What the heck, Dad? Mom, what are you doing to us?"
Just and circumnavigating the world the wrong way.
The one daughter had her tongue stuck out in one of them, which I thought was like, good. Her personality is showing at a young age. I like that.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, what was your favorite country?
Yeah. What was your favorite stop? Last question. What was your favorite stop on that 15-day cruise?
Oh, boy. We hit a couple of wonders of the world. So when we went to Israel, we went down to the border and crossed into Jordan to see Petra.
Wow.
And if you've ever seen Indiana Jones,
yeah,
a cool sight to see. We landed in Bangkok and then headed over, just took a little hopper flight into northern Cambodia to go to Angkor Wat, another wonder of the world.
Okay.
Now, we've been to Cambodia before, but what made a special stop to go up to Angkor Wat, and that was one of those moments where you see the sun, you know, rise over Angkor Wat, and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, amazing.
Wow.
Well, that's so cool. Well,
that was a great trip to watch, and I've looked at all the pictures and did a little research before I got you on here. So that was fun.
And Jay, thank you so much. I know you got a hard stop here. We appreciate you giving us some time today. And we'll see you hopefully again down in Sarasota in January.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, Jay.
All right. Bye. Well, that was a fascinating conversation with Jay. We could have talked to him for another hour.
No kidding. Yeah. His vectors and his
layers.
What
did he say? He gave over 100 keynotes this year, something like that. Yep. That's incredible. Yep. I mean, he's a very in demand person.
Yep.
So we were lucky to get his time today. You know, as we've been working with Forrester, we've got to know Jay a bit, and he's awesome. He just has a way of speaking to the channel very directly, but he's so intelligent and partners listen when he talks.
Oh, I imagine
partners listen. And, you know, he is really, from an analyst standpoint, he is really the channel analyst. I mean, he really knows it more than everybody else, and he's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on. I really like the discussion around security, because that's been a hot button topic as we've talked to
for weeks.
Yeah. Many experts about it already. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when Jay is on the podium, you know,
Jay is speaking, people listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And what about that trip?
Yeah, that was a fascinating trip. 21 days.
What other countries did he go to? Do you have the list? Can we see it? Pull it up.
Yeah,
let's see. All right, here we go.
Let's see. Went to France.
Been there.
Let me see, get a little closer. France, Monaco.
Never been.
Hungary?
Nope.
I'm a little hungry.
You're hungry.
Okay.
Okay.
Austria?
Nope.
Croatia?
Want to go.
Bosnia?
Keep moving.
Montenegro?
Yeah.
Albania?
Ooh, spicy.
Turkey?
Ooh,
sounds like a sandwich.
Would love to go to Turkey.
Turkey.
Budapest?
Israel, Jordan, Palestine, Thailand, Cambodia, and Australia.
Wow.
And he did it in 21 days.
That's incredible.
15 countries.
And how old are his daughters? You said his daughters were on there?
Very young, yeah. There was.
I can't imagine going anywhere 15 countries in 21 days with them.
Look how young his daughters
are. Oh, yeah.
Very young.
Wow.
And this is the one here. Let's see. They're having fun. Here's the one with her tongue. She stuck her tongue out, which is kind of like, okay, cool.
No, that's awesome.
And then at the end, let's look here at the last picture at the last airport. They're all worn out. They're just exhausted.
Well, I can't imagine. I've got a 5 and a 2-year-old, and I cannot imagine doing more than one country in 21
you know what's
days.
What's so cool though? I mean, these kids are going to be able to say in just a few years, I've already been to 100 countries.
100 countries.
Wow,
that's incredible.
That is incredible.
More power to him for taking those. I mean, for taking all those folks along. That is awesome. I wish, you know what, we should do a 21-day, 15-country podcast tour with Jay.
Why don't we just do that in Florida?
21 counties, 15 days.
We could go to the...
Opa-locka.
Yeah, we could go to...
Hernando.
Yeah.
Citrus. I'm just naming counties now. How many counties do I know? Let's get them. Boom. Boom. Brevard. Sarasota.
Lee Collier.
Manatee. Oh, we're in a county contest now.
Yeah.
You probably win.
Monroe.
Monroe's
Dade, cool. Broward.
Duval.
Palm Beach,
Duval.
Orange.
All right, this is not good content.
Sorry. Please don't rate us on this one, okay?
All right, I think that's it for today.
We could go. We could do cities that people don't know about in Florida.
I think we should.
We just do the tour.
Save that for another episode.
We just show up. And
okay. All right. Well, for Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth,
and we'll see you next time.
He's all right. He's all right. He just took a stumble. We're here.